You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Rick, Weebum, featuring XV.
And we are featuring XV this week. However, most of the people you just saw in that intro video, not here.
Sadly, we have XV back. We've only compounded our increasingly inaccurate credits.
So we do have XV. I'm JD, hosting this week. We also have Rob Clay, Ender as well, who is with us, and on video again.
Now I'm Light Vision.
Yes! So you can actually...
Light Vision.
So only before you could hear the hate, now you can see it as well. Yes. welcome.
Thrilled as Ender's face turns bright red while discussing the most banal of topics.
You're not doing it hard enough, Ender, if your face doesn't turn purple.
Right. One of these days, it'll just explode.
Sounds like a personal problem, actually.
I guess I like that. Rob, the picture, Clay.
Yes, Rob, the picture, Clay. Rob had video.
I have a question mark.
Rob had video issues, but we decided that since the picture has better color, that we're just going to go with that. Because generally his video would lock about a third of the way in anyway. So that's basically what we would get. And now we get the locked image with the better color. So there you go.
I don't have the picture. I got to say, Skype has decided that Rob is the Riddler.
Ah, well, there you go.
Because you don't have Rob on your contact list.
See, if you were a friend with Rob, you would have him. So welcome to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian is out. John is out. Peter, we have no idea where Peter went. Amy has apparently her throat has died. So all kinds of craziness. But we're here. So we're going to talk about Transformer stuff like we do. So what? So first off, I'm going to mention one thing. Google Plus opened up Google Pages, Google Plus Pages. So where there's an RFC page and a T-Formers page. You can circle them, I guess, is what you do to those. So you circle those. So check those out. Yet another avenue for news and information, both from RFC and T-Formers. So, yay for that. So, News. Wow. Actually, a lot of news this week.
Yeah. It's a lot to talk about, too. It's really kind of...
Yeah, I know.
It's really interesting things.
It's good. It's a good week. So, first off, that we have on our list here is images. Are these still mock-ups? These don't look like actual pictures. They look like...
Some of these are definitely still Photoshops.
Yeah.
So like I've done better Photoshops than some of these.
Well, what I'm going to call the Phallus Megatron, and there's an Axelon Skyshark, what was that originally?
Sharkticon.
Wow. Anyway...
These really do look like somebody's intern just did not have enough to do.
That Megatron is very, very purple. I'm just gonna say that
right
now.
I don't think the toy could possibly even be that purple in real life. I don't think you can get that intensity of purple on a physical object.
Now, mind you, yeah, the other Megatron was almost pink. It was so light.
I'd call that pink. Purple. It was a very light purple, but it was still pretty. It was like a dark lavender, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is so purple. It's not quite the purple show. It's not quite the light purple thing. Again, the intern thing is really striking me here, where somebody says, like, make that purple.
This is dog penis
purple.
This is
like purple.
This is
like the purple that comes up when you, like, hit purple and, like...
Wait, did you call it dog penis purple?
No. Yes.
I believe you did. And so that I just have to say, what dog's penis have you been looking at that you think that that's what color it is?
So, Dark of the Moon Deluxe.
Well, that's not the purple you were suggesting that my face should turn.
Right. It's a different purple. That's for a cat. I don't know. Anyway, Brian will never
have... Cats on the aside.
Right. Brian will never have me host again.
Is that what we're going for?
I, You know, it always seems like the last time I host is the last time that I'm going to host, and yet
he's helping.
Vengeance is the fish best served. Dog penis purple.
Brian, I don't know why you're reminded of picture pages with Bill Cosby, but it's weird because like 2 weeks ago I was just thinking about that too.
So Dark of the Moon Deluxe Soundwave is going to be shipping to the U.S. very shortly. Save us from the like massive amounts of Dark of the Moon toys that are sitting on the peg. Now, see, Ender, you complain that there were no Dark of the Moon toys on the pegs when it opened, but now there's just like...
I complained because there hadn't been for like totally artificial reasons, and then when their like time came to do their nifty reveal, they were like, "Wait, when were we doing that?"
Now it's like I go to Walmart and it's like they're so deep that they're like attaching to them to the peg above, you know, and it's like just repeats of the same stuff. So
now we should try to be a little more accurate here. What it actually is, somebody who works in a distribution center that serves the major retailers found a case of Mech-Tech Deluxes with a Soundwave inside. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be showing up in these stores because all these stores are full of bumblebees, for which there is at least 5 per person on the planet.
Yeah. This brings us, I think, nicely to... There's another story. I don't see it in the notes here about the first wave of Prime not getting to...
We're getting there.
This, yeah. Okay. This, I think, has a lot to do with it.
We are going to dig into that, yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. In terms of this one, like, wow, a Soundwave Stunticon. Just what we need. Like, isn't, like, the whole point of being the Decepticons to, like, not turn into cars?
Well, Soundwave has to turn into a car now because he got skipped over for alternators.
Or he could just not. I don't know. I don't see the point of a Soundwave car. I mean, in anything, at least not like just it looks like all the others. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't do it. Like, does he like turn into some truck full of speakers? No. Does he turn into a little sound thing? What's he do? It's like, no, he's just...
The satellite made more sense for...
If he was the Madmobile.
Ooh, hey, that I...
Get like the Welker connection going there.
I could get behind that. But no, I mean, Soundwave as a satellite made more sense in terms of the character. Soundwave as a car kind of makes more sense as in, okay, we're running out of Decepticons and we need to have more guys on the ground.
Yeah.
Or they wanted to use the character, but not add another character.
Yeah.
So we need to get more guys on the ground.
I think they could, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I see that. I actually think if they could have done something functional with Soundwave, it would have made a lot more sense. And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think it's necessarily that he has to turn into like something sound related just because it says it in his name. But like, if he turned into like, even if he turned into a truck, but he had like, he carried something in the back that could like be ejected and turned into the cassette characters, just so you could keep that relationship between characters, that would be useful.
You're missing out on what's important, which is hot babe in hot car. See that?
There was the hot babe in this.
Well, I didn't. I mean, I'm saying that's the mindset. I didn't say, well, oh, come on. She's.
No. We're making fun of the lack of that inclusion in the toy.
Right.
Yeah.
But in terms of the toy.
This kibbly piece of plastic? No.
The toy is just a tie-in.
In terms of particular sound waves, I think Animated really did it right by turning it into a little SUV, such as a type that would be customized to have the ridiculous competition-level sound system in it.
Yeah, but it had that manifest within it.
It maintained some functionality.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, you know, that would have made sense in terms of the film.
I'd like to see that concept revisited again for, you know, a future iteration of Soundwave as a vehicle.
It seems like in storyline they could have made Barricade like that character, because essentially what they needed is they needed a Decepticon to fill that role, but they didn't. It seems like they didn't want to add like another character, and so they're
now,
just like,
if they would have killed Sideways in the first 5 minutes of the last movie.
There you go, crazy idea.
And in terms of his name too, I mean, like if you'd had him be like a, you know, some kind of truck that would have that kind of sound system in it, or even show like what you would normally think of being that kind of sound system. And as fond as Bay seems to be of overusing that sort of big bassy undertone sound effect. You just have a drive in the middle of the street, and if anyone's wondering why his name was Soundwave, just have it be like some annoying driver, you know. Oh, great. It could have been better that you just had the car sitting next to somebody on the highway who's had their stereo turned up too loud and was making, like, the big fart noises out of, like, cheap little car that's going, it's like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And this sound would be like, and just, like, blow all the cars off the highway around him.
Like, that would have been awesome. I would go for that.
Soundwave, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy. And then I'd want to buy that toy.
Yeah. It wouldn't even need to be as far as blowing the cars off the highway. He would just pull up to that car with a stupid bass, and he would, like, blow out all its windows.
Right, that'd be fine, too. Well, yeah, I mean, like, how Bumblebee did that in the first.
Yeah. Yeah, and kind of a reference, even. Yeah, it would sort of reference that. That would work.
Close enough. Like, there, see?
So, now, see, in 5 minutes here on this podcast, we've come up with, like, 5 different ways that Soundwave could have been better used in Dark of the Moon.
Which is more time than Michael Bay spent thinking about that character at all.
Well, you know, they were already well patched.
I've been making comments about what wasn't in that movie without having seen it, because I know past a certain coolness threshold that it's simply impossible for it to have been present.
Well, and see, the thing is, too, by the time they got that far in the script where they could establish cool things for Soundwave, more than half the movie had already been shot, so it was too late to really, like, help that.
Yeah, they were pretty much past it. So,
for news!
Okay, I didn't read this full article, but I know the XV did, so he's going to help me out here. So, The Hub is, what, reporting that their ratings are down, and that's good.
That sounds like
or their viewership is down, and that's great.
But what they're banking on is Hasbro Toy Brands being strong enough sellers to make up for that shortfall.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait to laugh about that. Oh,
so
that ties in really nicely to our next news item. We'll talk about this a little bit.
So they've added. So the basically the story here is that their expectations in terms of expected, I guess, viewers is the way they would do that. Is like what they would say. What they said is at the low end of their expectations, but they're not worried because
they've done some careful research in the last months, and it turns out they're actually a toy company,
right? And so they're going to sell the toys, and that's where they're going to make their money. So, okay, cool. I don't know. I mean, there's a quote in here. Where was the one that, so this is the lower ends of their expectation. There's a quote where they're part of their 5-year business plan, which says, if the Hub Network can be half the size of Cartoon Network in 5 years, that'll be a success. Yeah, it would be. And if I started shitting money in 5 years, that would be a success. So it's not going to happen, but, you know, it's a goal, right?
We talked about this before. What the Hub problem is, not enough cable stations are carrying it in lower tier packages,
right?
So the ratings can't go up.
Yeah, I mean, now thankfully I'm in one of those areas where it's like I have it and I have even the HD version,
right?
But I know a lot of people don't or don't even have it at all. So
yeah, it's sometimes not even available in the cable system.
Which, you know, then people are just stealing their programs, which is, you know, sort of defeats purpose.
Well, and see, I just got standard definition The Hub, so I still steal Transformers Prime.
Right.
Because it looks too good to not watch in HD. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's really beautiful in HD.
It's like, well, like so many things they own, I'll pay them for it when they, I don't know, release it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, funny that you should mention that. So... Now, I've been, like, ever since XV showed this to me, I heard this earlier today, rumblings of it off Twitter, and then I finally got to look at this earlier today. So, I'll just read this, and I'm terrible at reading on the fly, so we'll see how that goes. So, this is from Big Bad Toyster, which says, we've just listed the wave of Hasbro Transformers Prime line of figures. An important note about this line that we'd like to pass on to our readers. This first edition, that's in quotes, line is a specialty market exclusive with limited distribution. BBTS will be carrying this full lineup. Get your pre-orders in, blah, blah, blah. So, that's it. That's what we have. Now,
yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
Exactly.
Define that for everybody. Let's talk about what that means.
This is the entertainment pack, Wave 1 and 1.5.
Okay, now, what needs to be noted is that this is a revised version of the first message they sent out, which specifically said that Walmart, Target, and Kmart would not be carrying this line.
Mm-hmm. Now...
This is the here's where this goes. A, you know, you could jump immediately to the this violates the cardinal rule I have, you know, of Hasbro and I's longstanding agreement. I give them money, they give me stuff. They're not doing their end of that very well here. But I don't think that even goes there. This is actually it's much like their last, you know, little debacle we were talking about with the hub. This is one of those moments where, like, you know, our secret operatives will delve deep into the bowels of Hasbro and put the little glass up the ear door of the you know, executive suite and hear their nefarious plan being hatched, which goes, oops. this is dumb of the moon. This is, they, you know, promised these people these giant sales numbers for this, and while they're still making plenty of money, these big stores all have a pile of stock the size of New Guinea back in their warehouses that has to go somewhere. They probably get them all from the same distributors who are sitting there going, we're not buying one more goddamn thing from you until we get rid of these, which we will hopefully be doing over Christmas. So for all they're like, we're sharing these only with our, like, exclusive distributors, it's like, because no one else will take them right now. Everybody said, like, I think it was like last week or the week before, you know, there I'm standing there like, oh look, Thundercats. Apparently it is humanly possible to have toys on the shelves while your show is on TV.
Imagine. Bandai of America is the one who's getting the toy thing right.
Yeah.
How did this happen?
What world am I living in?
Yeah.
They did this with animated, too. They've been screwing this up a lot, and I bet it's getting noticed in the line. They do this thing where it's like, let's stagger this by, like, a year. So it's like, you keep shipping us product with no support, or you put the support out with no product, and then, like, you're shocked when it doesn't move.
And yet they got the so-so War for Cybertron Prime and the infuriating Bumblebee on the shelves pretty much in time for the game to come out.
Hey, that's crazy.
Well, you know, I think that has a lot of the quality of that coming out. That has a lot of, like, the underlying things that a lot of Transformers media has been missing, and that's why, like, the executives are like, oh, wow, this is actually good. Why don't we rush some of this stuff? And that's why they keep going back to the game, and it's sort of like, yeah, because the G1 fanboys, like, might be onto something. It's like, oh, yeah, that is good. Try that. Try that. That's your line, you idiots. It's like, oh, yeah, what a great idea.
But somehow this seems to be the completely unanticipated result of having 6.5 billion Optimus Primes and Bumblebees in every Walmart in the country.
Yeah. It's like,
I mean, who could have ever guessed that might be a problem later?
Yeah.
So, to come back on
the telecom, told them that.
I'm kind of been looking over this too. I'm still trying to parse how this is going to work, because, so this is saying first edition. The boxes, at least according to the pictures we have, say first edition on them. Yep. Now, the pre-orders from Big Bad Toy Store are saying that they're going to ship January 2012. So I don't know what that means. I mean, does that mean that we're not going to see these in stores until after that? Or is this like
The way I understand
it. Bigger wave, right? Don't you, I mean, go ahead, actually.
We're getting the first edition toys, which is most of the ones we've seen already, like the ones that were shown around BotCon this year. And that's supposed to hold us over till they get the real line finished up and ready to move out. The real line, at least at this point, should be carried in the regular stores like any Transformers line. It's these first edition toys, which are going to be probably Toys R Us and online only at this point. So, yeah, we're probably not going to see those until 2012.
But
given this,
I'm wondering, my question is, what does first edition mean? Does first edition mean first to arrive, or does first edition mean the first version that you saw and these are, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
I think this is probably a line of packaging to address the problem they're having getting this toy out. I would be surprised if it came down to something as simple as, like, shipping box size. Like, what they can get someone to take, or what's going to be more likely to be able to move later. I mean, like, they're putting these things in a specific configuration to start moving the product while there's still some goddamn buzz about their show, which isn't making enough money. I mean, they're like talking about it now. They're like, well, it's okay. It turns out we're a toy company, so we're going to make our money back there. Does anyone remember like two BotCons ago when they were like being coy about whether Prime was going to have toys at all?
Yeah.
And the design
team completely let it slip, and the execs missed that they did.
Oops.
Yeah, it was pretty. They spent the rest of the whole panel looking at him like he was nuts. Like, we already said that there was like 3 minutes ago, dude. Like, I don't know.
For the first edition, what we found out a little while ago was that the first several deluxes were originally intended to go into the revived Generations or Classics line when that came back. So that stuff was all ready to go. Then they decided to just do a full-blown Transformers Prime toy line, so it got shuffled over to that, and those toys are what's going to be the first edition.
Mm. So I guess that means... When is the store? When are these going to be on store shelves? When do I get Prime on store shelves? That's like my big question and concern.
From the look of it, never.
Lately, isn't it like at some point you have to take the pile of plastic and put it on a retail store?
You know, I have
to really get the money.
If Hasbro wants my money, they have to put these toys on the shelves so I can buy it.
All this media, they're making these movies, they're stuff. It's like, guys, at some point you are meant to engage with us and exchange legal tender for this.
And I'm sure if Dark of the Moon had not become, landfill in any given store, that there would be the first edition toys on shelves, but your Walmarts, Targets, and Kmarts don't want anymore.
Yeah, it's
not something Hasbro can really help.
Edition sound so much nicer than the It Was This or TJ Maxx edition?
If it was the TJ Maxx edition, I would be getting them for half the price, and I think I'd be a little happier with that.
Well, and that's going to all this Dark of the Moon stuff. I mean, I guarantee, come April, you're going to see all the Dark of the Moon toys you want at TJ Maxx.
Dark of the Moon.
If Soundwave doesn't show up there first, I will be shocked.
I saw at Big Lots yesterday a MechTech Starscream.
I'm not really surprised.
Yeah.
They're talking about like Transformers 4, and I think the big objection I have, besides I won't see it, is this is the problem that comes out when you're like, you haven't changed the designs of really the main characters in like 5 years.
That's something I thought about back with the first movie. Out, like, what are they going to do with the sequels?
I can make another Prime. But if I change him enough, he is a new toy, and people will buy the new toy, even though it has the same name. This is a leap of logic for them, 25 years ago. Now what they're discovering is if you make 20 versions of a character whose image has not changed, people will not continue to buy those. Those kids, even if they went to the Transformers, inappropriately again, and have gone and like, oh wow, I love Optimus Prime, I love this movie, let's go get some Transformers toys. What happens when they get there and there's 200 Primes on the shelves is their parents go, you already have one of those.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah, you think they would have... This is the same company that does Star Wars figures. You think they would have learned something
it's a different team to handle Star Wars, though.
Yeah,
If somebody in Star Wars, if somebody like changes their lapel in the middle of the movie, they can get away with that,
right?
But it's not working on this, and it's not going that.
Okay,
the way the characters look and. Being transforming toys to, I think, especially to an adult who's not that involved, I bet a lot, they literally would look at it and go, that is the exact same toy I bought you.
Yeah, they would. Because even I have problems identifying the
truck thing. Yeah. And that's that yellow cab.
But
In movie terms, I understand the logic because, you can do a new model of Optimus Prime with 80 trillion polygons in it, or you can do an entirely new character and keep using the one from the last movie. It makes a certain amount of sense with how much detail goes into those models and how much you know, Industrial Light and Magic costs to use, it just doesn't make a lot of good toy sense.
Which you'd think would be the point, since Hasbro, I don't know, it's a toy company.
Well, that's just it. Hasbro has to realize that, though I don't know what their deal, I mean, I don't know how much of the, what they make is for marketing, and if they get anything from the movies, actually, directly, but their needs and Hollywood's needs, whoever's making it, Bay, Paramount, Disney, whoever the hell, aren't necessarily always going to be, you know.
Yeah, there's definitely a disparity between philosophies here.
Yeah.
But this is the point where it's reaching, like, for Hollywood, it's like, great, I am getting my Industrial Light and Magic, you know, money back in spades. I can keep using this. I can make 1,000 of these movies. But for Hasbro, it's like, no, these things have to change every X amount of years or we can't sell toys. You can continue. They don't care about the story or who's making it or whatever the hell, but they at some point are need to say, like, these need to be different. And what's really funny is then Hasbro will, not having learned the lesson that Hollywood not having learned Hasbro's 25-year-old lesson, will immediately kill Optimus Prime and Bumblebee and, like, troll out some characters and be like, ta-da! We're geniuses!
But, you know, this is something that occurred to me even with the first movie. It's like, what are they going to do with the sequels? Because they're either going to have to change how everyone looks, or they're going to have toys out that are identical, effectively, to what is out this year.
And I think that that's the – I think, you know, as we've seen, that's the problem going into now, you know, three sets of toys. And now it's hurting the other toys. So hopefully Hasbro will understand why they need to either – not do another movie, or if they do, reboot it or something, because...
Well, the other choice is to scale back the volume of the toy line. They did that sort of with Dark of the Moon by having less kinds of product out, but they need to reduce the total number of units within those product types as well.
It's a tremendous relief to me as an Optimus Prime collector. They had so many fewer tchotchkes out to go hunt down. But they did manage to get a in truck mode, Optimus Prime plush pillow.
Did you get the ultimate? You got the ultimate. That's Optimus Prime.
Actually, tchotchke-wise, this is just a quick note on the random stuff they released that, like, wasn't in the other lines. There's a little, like, quad runner that has Optimus's head and torso as the front of it from the movies. And actually did count because it was enough of a 3D representation of him. And a wagon. A wagon in truck mode that I had just about convinced myself to pass up on, though I usually will get it even if it's just the alt mode. But I got it because the head pops out of the top.
Ah.
Nice. Randomly.
Yep.
So I think what they should do for the fourth movie to address this make the characters look different issue is that instead of using ILM and CGI, they need to do a combination of live action and cell animation for the next one.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. I kind of feel like the way the franchise is right now, they have lucked out money-wise. I wouldn't be surprised if Hollywood can be really dumb and Hollywood can be smart. Sometimes this is the like the direct-to-video part. This is where you cut your losses and realize, like, the trajectory of this, though still profitable, is probably akin to that of Planet of the Apes. You know, like, we need to start putting less money into these to get our return, the kind of return back we want. And they're not going to, you know, once they get a return back that isn't what they expect, they'll be just as pissed as if they made no money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when they realize that the movie toy line, the glut of it is starting to hurt the other stuff they also need to do in the off season.
This is the thing. I'm talking about Hollywood. Hasbro
already
feeling a lot of this crunch.
Yeah.
And at some point, I mean, like, for them to keep making the kind of money they need to make, they need a new media to come out. In fact, I think it's kind of funny with Prime, like, because they had this gap in the middle. They, like, pulled the plug on animated before they had anything else to put out.
Right.
It's almost like there's, like, this rediscovery for a certain, like, realm of fans, newer fans. It's like, oh, wow, this TV show is kind of a cool thing to do with the Transformers. Like, oh, this makes a really good cartoon.
Wow, that's a great idea. A Transformers cartoon.
You think how different? I mean, like, it's very much in line with, like, this is a cartoon that follows the logic of the progression of the different series. But if you look at it just as, like, they made these movies and then they made this, it's like, it's a very different animal.
It's kind of like how Batman the Animated Series was when it came out, because that was the same idea.
Yeah. So, Awesome.
Okay, so I think
that was our topic and everything all in one.
At some point, if they're not making their money off of these movies, all they can do is try to pull the rights back. They can't tell them stop making movies with these things. And I suspect they don't make that much off of the deal.
No, it's probably mostly the toys.
I bet they're just making money off the toys. And they're sitting there right now going, okay, this is already not working out for us. And if I don't know if they've put two and two together, but like because everybody already has a Bumblebee and an Optimus, to give us a new Bumblebee and Optimus to make toys of, or we have to like stop them.
Right. Yeah, and I think so. I don't know, but hey, if you want though, you can go to a Big Bad Toy Store and pre-order those and get them. So there's that.
I'm sure it'll be on Hasbro Toy Shop too, if you prefer.
Yeah.
I have a rant about something here, too.
Okay, right? We have space for your rant later if you would like to.
Well, it's related. It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's the same set of toys, anyway. The Takara set of these, okay, is, the Japanese ones always look better, all right? They always cost a little more, and then you have to import them. I almost never do that. It's never really worth it. I just say I was shocked at the quality, especially of the Prime in these first editions. That is like knock Optimus Prime. Okay. That thing looks
deluxe one. Knockoffs.
Yeah. And they said outright, you're going to pay more. The Japanese ones are definitely being made nicer, but ours are at a substantially lower price point. But like, that looks like a knockoff. It looks awful. And if you look at the other one, it looks great, but like the midpoint is not like in between that. I mean, like, it's like, The white parts of it. This thing looks like a cartoon version of Prime from Transformers Prime, which would be okay if it was a cartoon, but it's not. It's like, this thing looks awful. Just awful. This is like, it's $20 instead of $40, but it's a $10 toy. That is abysmal. And I resent it too because it's not like they put like one on the shelf next to the other here. And they're going to be like, well, this is the mid-range one. The Japanese have the nice one. And this is a crappy one if you don't want to spend too much dough. I have to import a really nice one and pay all that extra and pay a middleman to get something that's of tolerable quality. Because that's just like, I'll just live with that one. I was looking at it going like, I don't even want to put that in my shelf, knowing that it could get a decent one. So I'm actually going to break down and spend the extra like $30 for the same damn toy because it's not the knockoff version. So I'm sorry, that's the thing is unacceptable. That's unacceptable quality. That thing looks awful. Those windows, you can see like the stuff inside and everything. It's just like, how much could you possibly be saving? So
yeah. So let's see.
We'll say knock off of this Prime.
Knock off this Prime. we do have those in hand images of Voyager, Bulkhead, and Prime.
And that's as purple as I have any intention of turning.
Okay. That's it. That looks okay. And that's like, I guess that's the first edition packaging. So. This is over at tformers.com.
Isn't that pretty bad?
Yeah.
I mean, they could bother to make the silver parts gray.
Well, it's got a hand sword thing, so that's...
useless.
Something.
Boy, that's something to lose.
Yeah, that's... because there's nowhere to put it in vehicle mode, so you just gotta set that to the side along with the gun. Awesome.
Yeah.
That is going to be in robot mode on the shelf for sure. Anyway, but I don't know. I think the Voyager Prime looks okay. I mean, to me, it looks better than the deluxe one.
The mold. There's nothing wrong with the mold.
It's just the colors. Yeah.
You can't make it out of three colors with two paint runs.
What you're not taking into account is we're going to get endless repaints of this.
Yeah.
We'll get the battle.
So that way you buy like five different toys and you take all the best parts of each one, smash them together, and then you get your five plastic colors and 24 paint applications.
See, because you're going to get the movie style version of this with the flame paint.
Oh, goody.
You'll probably get a Nemesis version.
Maybe a Night Watch.
Buy a repaint because just as annoyingly, like those platinum ones, it was like, and here's like what we should have done in the first place, Prime.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got to have that because I mean, you know,
like if we hadn't been so damn lazy, Prime.
No, it's you know you. They, no, what it is they hate you, Ender. They know that you're a completist, and they're just going
to
get you
obligated to buy whatever they put out.
Right.
But yeah, so we actually moved the Prime design department down the hall from the rest of the department because
they can give it to the Marvel crossovers team.
Yeah.
We put it down there so they can make extra evil stuff because there's this one guy we really hate.
Right.
The satanic chant that team needs to do, like, was really bothering everybody else.
So. All right.
And in the final bit of news, which has only taken us 45 minutes to get through, because JD's hosting, SlagaCon 2012 has been announced. It's going to be in Mill Creek Civic Center in Chesterfield, Indiana, on October 13th, 2012. So book your cruises now. Yeah.
Don't feel bad about it taking so long. I'm sure this is why Brian has run off this team, because, like, finally, not, I'm back and XV is on. It's like, I know what we're going to do. I'll put
right. I can't be there. I've got stuff going on.
Kilby had no foreknowledge that I would be on tonight.
Yeah, really. That was totally me, like, crying and begging. there was a lot of groveling involved
like,
in that.
You know, at like 6:45, he was assuming Peter was still going to show up.
Yeah. Yeah. I still thought Peter might be here. Yeah. So
it's been nice and panicked.
Yeah. Brian owes me so much right now. So Rob, have you been checking the chat? And
I have been checking the chat.
What's going on there?
Damn chat.
Well, you know, there are obviously some people who are not as equally not happy with this as we are.
yeah.
Diecast is mad. Yes, Diecast is mad because they originally said Prime things would start showing up in December. And Don had a couple of good points. One being that, he said it's almost as bad as dealing with Maddie Collector. I don't know if we've gotten that bad yet, but it did cross my mind.
Yeah.
And what he really wants to know, and I do too, is, you know, is first edition just the packaging, or are these going to be the only way we get these figures? I think it's just the packaging. I think it's honestly
just the packaging, at least to an extent. We know we're getting like a different Cliffjumper, a different Bumblebee later on.
It's almost like somebody needs to put in a call to like Hasbro PR and be like, WTF.
Yeah, got fixes, guys.
We need some clarification based on this press release. So,
yeah.
Well, that's just it. You know, they'd say something coy back, but again, it's not like it's oops.
Yeah, it's more like yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Hasbro probably is
like,
just...
shh, my boss doesn't know that's happening yet.
Right. Yeah. So awesome.
Has much more control over this than we do.
Yeah. Well, and it's not just that. I mean, again, and to Ender's point, I think that Hasbro's at the mercy of Walmart and Target and Toys R Us, and they're looking at their massive shelves filled with toys that didn't sell from a summer movie, going, we can't really buy any more right now.
And Hasbro's going, our TV network that's tanking is going to make it all back on toys that we can't get anyone to sell for us.
Yeah. So,
which is why the article being posted today was so hilarious.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
This is Twitter Theater.
Hey guys, it's Rob, and this week's Twitter Theater. If you didn't check it out already, it's at tfvideo.net. Is the beginning of our Thanksgiving celebration for Twitter Theater, and that would be the best of Twitter Theater. In other words, Twitter Theaters I'm thankful for. Came up with that one all by myself. because I'd like to do something with Thanksgiving. This week's Twitter Theater was the OTFCC 2003 documentary. It was posted sometime last year, early last year, mainly because it had footage of the OFTC. Man, that is a mouthful to say. OTFCC 2003 dance party, which Brian and I attended for very few minutes, laughed and left. Essentially, we got there, and it was a group of us. It was myself, of course, Brian, Hooper X, and Ant from TFU, Tony Fitz. We got there and saw basically a dance floor completely empty. You can see where I'm pointing. Completely empty. And a bunch of people standing up outside a wall like this. And that was it. And they were playing some inane, not really inane, just sort of weird remix of Metallica's One with Transformers the Movie samples. It's not, it's just kind of weird. It was like, hmm? And I remember Ant from TFU, he was very confused and conflicted because he's like, I don't understand. I really like Metallica and I really like Transformers, but I really wish they weren't mixed together. We were just kind of looking around like, what the? I remember at one point this very large couple started going and headbanging, and I was like, well, okay. It was very odd, and I remember looking over at Brian at one point, he was just like this. Yep. We ended up leaving after we saw it. It was like basically this dance floor was completely empty, but every once in a while someone would run out and be like, yay! And then run back to the audience. And that was the dance party. Apparently, and according to this video, a little bit later it kind of loosened up, and if you watch the video, you'll see people got more open with their dancing. I think it's since they got liquored up, because there was an open bar, and I think since they got liquored up, they loosened up some. As you see in the video, there's people kind of dancing around a little, and there's one guy does the Booker T spin-a-rooney. I don't know why. I really don't know why he does that. He's like, and people are like, yeah, he's good. He's good. One guy dances for a second and takes off his hat and bows and then runs off back into the crowd. And they're like, yeah, this is like kind of the version of the nerd version of the Soul Train line. Yeah, this is the Transformers fans nerd version of the Soul Train line. But instead of a line and people dance down it, there's a giant empty square and people are standing all around it. And someone will nervously run out in the middle, make a fool of himself, and run back off. That pretty much is it. And, but as this video shows, people get liquored up, and the dance floor kind of fills up a little, and people are kind of boogieing, you know, they're like, yay! I think at that time, they're probably playing a CNC Music Factory, Interlaced to Transformers sound clips, and they're just like, yeah, this is good! And, my favorite, if you watch the video, there's some, it looks like somebody's mom doing Broken Windmill, which is, you know, traditional goth dancing. You know, the old, whoa, whoa, my soul's on fire, I wear all black, I'm so miserable, you know, that stuff. But it's like someone's mom in her jorts and t-shirt poked in at hip level. She's just like, I saw this on TV. This is how people dance to music with Transformer samples in it. This is cool. Yeah. I'm tired. Well, I'm very sleepy, and I might get back to bed after this. But that was Twitter Theater this week. We'll see what next week's greatest of Twitter Theater was. If you guys got any suggestions, go ahead and post them on our Facebook page or YouTube page saying, hey, this was my favorite Twitter Theater, and we'll do that one, okay? All right. Well, I'm going to go do some burning windmill dancing in the bathroom. You know, it stinks in here. I'm pooping. Yeah, TMI. All right, back to you guys. Thanks.
So I thought I'd wrap up with a little bit of a whip around of some of the third party stuff that's coming out, because we sort of, you know, go back and forth on how we feel about third party things. First thing I want to mention is something that I saw earlier in the week, which is this like three set of Headmaster heads that are based on G1 figures. So there's an Ultra Magnus, a Blaster, and a Megatron.
Oh, those are following up on the Optimus Prime, Soundwave, and Sound Blaster ones.
And they're awesome.
They are fantastic. I wish I could afford to just buy all of these.
Oh,
I
have my course, and I'd also have to afford to buy a Headmaster body to put them on.
Well, I'm almost complete on Headmasters. Almost, as far as the larger versions. Because that's like one of the things that I do collect. So, like, this for me is like crack. And I'm like, this is awesome. Because they, not only do they turn into heads and robots, but they have like sort of vehicle-ish modes.
Yeah, they have decent alt modes.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like fantastic, but they're like, an inch tall.
They're passable. I mean,
yeah,
they're very passable.
They're cooler than the original things. Yeah, you know, I mean, like they do something extra.
I can't decide if I want the Blaster more or the Megatron. That's what I don't know. I like
a lot
Master
of
stuff.
Bashing opportunity.
They're, oh the, yeah.
These.
So those are kind of cool.
They're really well detailed. I mean, if you look at them, like it's really good for that size.
Oh yeah, the only thing I'm concerned about is like, are these going to crumble in my hand? You know, because
they're pretty good.
Yeah,
I have the Prime, and so it made me wish I had more. Good. I mean, these
it seems like most of the third party stuff nowadays is pretty decently made.
Yeah,
yeah. I think the myth of the stuff that falls apart in your hand has like, you know, little plastic tabs on it everywhere is kind of over.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
You know, really are making pretty professionalish stuff at this point. Design wise, they are not engineers, and there won't be as many like clever little things that go on. It's pretty straightforward. And
yeah.
Although, if you get with the right third party stuff, there is the clever little things in there too.
Like not Devastator.
I mean, it just depends who.
That was gonna be
another point too about the quality level, because that's about the closest thing you're getting to having build problems now, where each component's having little things crop up over time that didn't show up in testing or whatever. But, you know, even then, the company is issuing replacement parts and stuff to address it. So it's not like you're out in the cold with it.
Yeah, it's actually, well, it's like they don't have the resources to do the kind of testing that an actual toy company would do.
Right.
But an actual toy company would never just say, hey, in the next run, we're going to give you something to replace that with.
Right.
Like, really, you know, actually, like, that was our fault. And we'd be happy to fix that for you. Like, yeah. Hmm. I'd love to hear Hasbro say that someday.
yeah, right. Good luck with you that. Know. So, let's see. There's
what
not.
They say, oops.
There's not Power Glide.
Wild executive.
And not Wild Child, I guess, is what. Or is, that's Wild Child, and what. Yes,
not Glide. Who gives
that,
a GoBot?
What? Yeah, what is that GoBot's name?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, I was correct. It was Bad Boy or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It was one of the ones from the E-Hobby set.
Corrected me when I called him Who Gives a Glide, and he told me who it was. That's why now he's Who Gives a GoBot.
That's great.
Yeah, except Who Gives a Glide actually kind of flows better in speech.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
this is true.
But those look decent. So,
well, the Power Glide does.
Yeah, well, the Power Glide.
If I was going to get one, somebody gets
why would
Bad
you do
Boy
that?
Version.
Yeah.
To make it look like a GoBot. Like, oh yeah, we needed that. I don't know. I kind of feel like the point of all these things is like, we're making stuff that fans really want that isn't going to get made anywhere else. It's like, we really want GoBots, huh?
Well, actually, kind of, because there was that E-Hobby set where the mini bots were repainted as GoBots characters, and that proved to be a fairly popular concept.
Yeah. Yeah, that did go over pretty well. So, I mean, I could see some people wanting it, so.
That's what I was saying, though. If I was going to get one of those Power Glide figures, I would probably get the Bad Boy one because of it. That's what it is, you know.
I'm looking at this this Minerva.
I think Psykill was the only, like, GoBot I retained any, like, interest in over time. I don't know why.
Because of the kill.
Just the name. I don't know. Something. Kill. But it's the kill. It's when they, like, never make anything up. You know, it's like, this is like, they're making all these obscure, like, repaints of things. And this, it's like, if somebody specifically made a Psykill, I might buy that.
Hmm. Yeah, but there's really so few good motorcycle molds to do that off of.
It's only a matter of time, I figure. It doesn't
work like that either.
Yeah.
And, well, the thing is, and the other problem is, too, is like, if you really made one accurate to what Psykill was, Psykill looks like crap.
Yeah.
It's kind of more, it's like a good concept that somebody should take and make something cool out of. But like, if you were like to go back to the well, and this is why there isn't GoBots movies coming out to compete with the Transformers, is because it's kind of stupid and crappy, and they don't look very good. It's like, wow, that's you know, giant robots hitting each other is usually cooler, I thought. Which got my big point is like, it's more than giant robots hitting each other. And it's like, if you don't believe me, go watch the GoBots. let's discuss it at the dinner after we go to the Voltron movie. Oh, wait.
Yeah. So, just a quick note on the Minerva statue thing. That comes with a blow up doll face.
Yeah, like, why do we need it?
Anytime
they
bring up Minerva, it's just like...
creepy?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, you're not bringing that character up for the right reasons. And we can tell, because, like, it's not, like, accompanied by Hosehead.
Right.
No. And it's not gonna be. No. You can't even get, like, a Ginra and like, hey, let's do another Minerva. It's like, oh, yeah, it's all about wanting to have that character. Sure.
Yeah.
And I guess somebody knockoff makers, could you like somebody please get around to making a a sorry toy of the transforming variety?
There you go.
From the season.
Yeah, that'd
be great. Something we could actually use.
Yeah.
I bring that up because I was going to buy that set because I wanted the Megatron. I was going to break down and buy that set with the Prime and that. And I decided I just flat out refused to buy the three kids from Prime. Even though I wanted Megatron, I was like, I'll wait for it to come out another line.
Yeah, it'll come out. I mean, you'll get a repaint of that as something else. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, or even just a single pack of it. But I refuse to buy those kids. And those toys are really obnoxious looking. They really convey, like, everything that sucks about those characters.
Yeah.
Even though they've grown on me in some... Well, everyone but Jack. Jack has not grown on me. But the other two, I'm, like, actually okay with. It's like, wow, you've got those things posed and molded to just really invoke everything about them that, like, triggers my gag reflex.
Well, it was really easy, too, because, you know, with the CGI models, they could probably just rapid prototype them in a 3D printer to run the molds off of.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like their character shots. You know, they sent them, like, here's them posts for their crap. And, again, those convey, like, every stereotypical meat unit.
I can get where you're coming from with that.
Real franchise thing about them.
The chat's talking about Kiss Player.
I didn't want to bring that up. Thinking about, you bring up Minerva. It's like, gee, I wonder what line of thought that comes down through.
Hey, Kiss Play. We'll never live that down.
We don't have to live that down.
Well, it still came out of like a train, even though it's the Japanese, and it didn't happen in America, thankfully, but it still kind of feels like it's there, you know, and...
Except that the fandom at large disavows it, which kind of makes everything better.
Yeah, that is at least a good point.
The only people who really don't are the people who you need to live down.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think, too, you know, it came out, and, like, for about 3 seconds, it was, like, an outlet for people who had missed certain alternators to get them.
Mm-hmm.
And as it got into it, was like, actually, this is... Is this the story? Like, they're really mean that... Oh.
Ew.
I shouldn't have bought this.
Yeah.
This shouldn't have been in that store.
Yeah.
Hey, how that's one of the few things that almost the entire fandom can agree on. This was wrong.
Yeah, it was really not good. Well, on that note, I think we'll agree that this show is toast. It's over. We have finally made it to the end of this monstrosity. So I have good news and bad news. Good news, this episode's over. Bad news is I'm back next week hosting and producing.
Again?
Yep. So hopefully we'll have more people on the show. But I do appreciate my crew here showing up tonight. XP, Rob, and Ender, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'll remind everybody once again to go to...
Be okay.
Sorry, what, Ender?
Need to make more fun of Brian next week, you know.
Oh, we're going to get plenty of that in.
We'll do our best.
Oh, man. I have a whole week to prepare horrible things to say about Brian.
You and I should have like a meeting.
So, yeah, we're going to meet ahead of time to plan that all out. So I do want to, again, and Brian's reminding me, even though I was about to do it anyway, to check out the...
Brian, get off his back.
I know. It's like, geez, dude. Thanks, Mom.
He's doing the producer thing again, even though he's not even involved in this.
Right. So, Google+.
Be making fun of him.
Check out our RFC page and the T-Formers page as well. Add those to your circle. Check out Google+. It's good stuff. It needs some love because nobody's using it. So, try it out for serious. It's kind of cool. So, anyway, that's it. That's the show. Go to the website, tfradio.net. Join us live weekly and all that good stuff. And don't forget, it is National Podcasting Month, so we're doing a show every day coming out.
Which is why we've done this horror tonight.
Right, which is why we made sure to put out this monstrosity of a show tonight for you. So that
we don't promise that they will all be good shows, but there will be a show every day.
Yes.
And you know what? There is enough wrong with this show, people, that you have no excuse not to leave some feedback.
Right. So please do so. Thank you, Ender. So please leave feedback. We appreciate feedback. So anyway, thanks so much for listening, and yeah, we'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.